from New York City, it's the Gary Noll Show. And now, your host, Gary Noll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll on a telephone today, still trying to get the problems of our crashed computer fixed, and that'll be in a day or two. Today we're going to talk about new research on rosemary and grapefruit and what it does to protect your inside of your body. We have at least a dozen studies that you have not read or heard about anywhere else on health and living a longer life, preventing disease, including breast cancer and heart disease, on today's program. All of our information comes from peer-reviewed literature using the government's own database. And then from there, a commentary from Chris Hedges from TruthDig, America the Failed State. I will also be sharing my own commentary on why I believe it's time for us to take a moment, a measured moment, and ask ourselves, are we getting better, healthier? Are we helping overcome our social problems? What are we doing exactly, and who's doing it to see that we can have universal health care, overcome Citizens United, stop this monstrous national defense budget that is below the line about $700 billion, above the line $700 billion? You're looking at almost $1.5 trillion. Could you just think for a second what that would do to eliminate poverty, to help pay off student debt, to help everyone at some level in their life, to refix our infrastructures? We're not doing that. In fact, all those have been put on the sidelines so the left and the right can battle it out about who's the meaner dude this week. Is it Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and their gang? Or is it Donald Trump and his gang? And the media takes sides. How exactly does this make the world better, solve problems, stop invading countries, help rebuild the countries we have invaded? It doesn't. So we've taken our eye off what's important. We've become involved in ideological battles. And for that reason, I'm asking this audience, most of whom already have at one time been either conservative or liberal, and you're going to keep that which you feel strongly about that benefits you, and you're going to surrender the rest, and you're going to go forward, just look for the truth wherever it is. So I'm going to give you my input on that today. And we're going to have several other comments. I remember getting off an elevator, and a very well-known person on the left was getting on, and we've known each other 35 years. So the guy, you know, this person said they wanted to talk for a moment. We sat there, and we talked. And then I asked a very straight question. With all that you're doing to support Hillary Clinton, what do you know about her? I dropped you an entire box of documents on her and her husband's reputation, what they did, that can be proven down in Arkansas. With her going into Libya now, and with Obama backing, but she's the guiding force, just imagine the outcome, all going against the people of Libya, including the women and children, then what part of you is going to support the victims in Libya, and what part of you will continue to support the person who created those victims, Hillary Clinton? And the person was just did not give me any answer, try to spin it. Well, you know, if she's president, then, you know, I said, no. If she's president, you won't know a thing that's going wrong in Libya or any place else that she's been involved. Honduras, the coup there, arming the neo-fascists in the Ukraine, the undermining the government of Assad, stating that he is the one responsible for chemical weapons when Seymour Hersh and others shown it wasn't him. And he didn't give me an answer. I want to show you the consequences of that today. I'm going to play two clips. One is from the head of the United Nations, and the other is a clip on the ground from a television network that got on the ground in Libya to show you what's going on there. And it's horrific. And everyone who voted for Hillary Clinton or supports her should ask themselves, should she be held accountable? Should she be responsible for what she created? It's a reasonable question. Depending upon our ideology, our open or closeness, I can pretty much predict the outcome. So we're going to take on a lot of issues today, and we're going to start with a group out of Italy at university, took a look at rosemary, extracts of rosemary and grapefruit, and they found that it improves our skin, its suppleness, reduces wrinkling, and this is important. It was actually two studies, one in Spain and one in Italy. But you had to combine the rosemary and the grapefruit, and it produced measurable benefits within 2 weeks. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Food and Nutrition Research. And the researchers used the commercial ingredient from Spain and from the grapefruits and from this quote, long-term oral extract supplementation can contribute to skin protection by maintaining a steady state, a systemic concentration of compounds capable of protecting the skin cells from ultraviolet-induced alteration, end quote. So, what does it mean? In just lay language, it means that if you start taking rosemary, which is easy, inexpensive, good in different dishes, and grapefruit, and juicing the grapefruit, including the skin and seeds, because you get the caprylic acid in the seeds, which are very beneficial, especially for things that are wrong inside your intestine, like parasites and bad bacteria. It could help your skin. From Indiana University comes a study about the role of magnesium lowering your blood pressure. We have an epidemic of elevated blood pressure in the United States, and even to lower it modestly would be beneficial. Now, this was published in the American Heart Journal's Hypertension, and it said that magnesium, by the way, which you can also find in whole grains and beans and nuts and green leafy vegetables, especially kale and sea vegetables, can lower blood pressure. This was a meta-analysis of 34 different studies involving thousands of participants, and they found that you can significantly associate magnesium intake with lowering your blood pressure. And this was about 368 milligrams a day of magnesium. I recommend 1,000 milligrams a day, or almost 2.5 times this amount, for several reasons, because there's over 300 different biochemical processes that occur at the heart alone. It can help protect you from AFib. It can actually reverse AFib in many cases. It can protect you from muscle spasm, from stroke. It can relax your muscles. It does so many good things in the body. Now, I also believe that there's other forms of magnesium you can take that can help prevent a stroke and get magnesium into the brain, where it also is good, and I'll talk about that in a few moments. But we don't take enough magnesium or magnesium foods in our diet. You should always listen carefully. If you want to help prevent heart attack and strokes at night, and that's when most occur, always about an hour before you go to bed, take coenzyme Q10, vitamin E, L-carnitine, cayenne pepper in a capsule, high heat units, about 40,000 heat units in one capsule, and magnesium, and that can help prevent a heart attack, keep your blood thin, flowing smoothly, oxygenated, and you live another day. Because a lot of people won't make it. And so this meta-analysis showed that. Also, from Daniel Amen Clinic, they did research and found that something I've been saying for a long time, Alzheimer's begins in the brain 30 years before any symptoms show up. That's correct. It takes a long time to create disease, whether it's COPD or cancers of the breast or prostate, lung. It takes a long time to treat toxic liver and disease your kidneys. But in time you will, if you do the wrong things. So without any symptoms for 30 years, let's say you're 40 years old, and you've been living a normal average, you know, life, diet, you're already creating Alzheimer's. You just won't know it until 30 years, and then when you hit 70. And first thing that happens is poor memory. That's normal. And then you start to lose memory, and you develop what is known as brain fog. That's considered normal in your 40s and 50s today. And yet there was a time when you didn't see that until a person was in their 80s. So deterioration of memory can due to head trauma or vascular disease or Parkinson's or alcohol use or a negative impact of your brain, like playing football or hockey. But it can be irreversible. You can suffer a stroke. You can be depressed and not know that you've got brain damage. So this is one of the reasons why I pay attention to anything that causes inflammation, because it could wait decades before it manifests. In fact, there's a singer now who I just was told, Elvis Costello, who has cancer. So serious is his cancer, so aggressive, that he had to cancel the rest of his current tour. Now, I don't know him. I've never met him or spoken with him. But that cancer just didn't happen. That took a lot of time. Now, a lot of people are living today, performers, healthy lives. I know because I've counseled a lot of them. I mean, a lot. Broadway ballerinas, opera singers, tenors. If you could only see the people come in my office, and how many, at least 3,000 famous ones. But there was a time when they didn't. And here's the simple question. If you do something earlier in your life or overdo something that you normally wouldn't do and you know is not healthy, drinking, smoking, drugs, and then you stop, is it okay? And the answer is, it's the beginning of slowing down the disease process, but it does not in and of itself reverse it. So if you stop smoking 10 years ago, there's a high probability you'll still develop lung cancer or COPD or emphysema. If you drank, there's still a high probability that you end up succumbing to liver disease. Unless, and here's the caveat, unless you vigorously and with full intent not only stop all the bad habits in the past, but then go in and reconstruct the DNA, cleanse, detoxify, and rejuvenate, then you can actually be healthier than when you were doing those foolish things earlier in life. So if you remember about a year and a half ago, I was even going to do a special retreat just for performers, because so many were dying in their 60s, 50s, and 70s. And I even put the word out to a booking company that books doo-wop acts, because I went to the Beacon Theater and I watched all these doo-wop acts, and it was very entertaining, and the people still have their personalities. But some of these guys couldn't even walk. I mean, they were shuffling on stage. A couple had to be helped on stage, off stage. And you really appreciate it, and you're there cheering for them, because if they're in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, and they're still out there, one guy was in his 80s, and he's still showing he's got some lung power. Didn't have what he did, but hey, you take that into account, right? When you go see Billy Joel, he doesn't look like he did, you know, when he was in his 20s, but he's still out there, he's still performing, and still, you know, he still has that it factor and still lights up the audience. But then you think, well, wow, what would that person look like and how would they be today if they had been a healthier lifestyle? And here's the question I ask. Can we take those people who have not lived the healthiest lifestyles and reverse the damage so at a biological level they're much younger? And the answer is yes. So if you know, and look, we have people from all over the world listening to this show. You have no idea the different types of people that listen here. Because all the time, wherever I'm at, people say, oh, you know, I listen, yeah, I download the show, et cetera, et cetera. And you never know. But I can only help someone if they contact my office. So if anyone knows Elvis Costello, just ask him to reach out. It's easy. Let me give you an email address, prnstudio@gmail.com. prnstudio@gmail.com. And then I would see if we can help him. All right? Some people ask me, even though I'm completely opposed to everything that Charles Krauthammer, the commentator over on Fox, and the conservative media represented, he's still a human being. His actions did not always represent, in my opinion, far from it. He was a big supporter of war, but I don't hold those judgments when I'm helping someone. I'm not saying I'm not going to help you because you're a bad person, you did this, that, and the other. That's not for me to do. And so I said I'm here if he reaches out. Never reached out. Glenn Campbell's people never reached out. And I know a lot of those people. Muhammad Ali people did reach out. But when I said, will he stick with the protocol, they said no. I said, well, then what's the purpose? You know. But if someone wants to reach out to Costello, I'll be happy to talk with him and let him know there's something can help him. In fact, what we're going to do is in a few minutes we're going to go to a break. And when we come back from a break, I'm going to play you a short clip from a person that came to a retreat just 2.5-3 months ago, and I never ask anyone what they have. I'm not there to diagnose or treat anything. I'm just there to help promote health at a level that people are not used to. And this person had cancer. So I haven't heard it. That's just what I was told. And let's see what this person has to say. And this is not the only person by any means. Right now as we speak, at least 15 people who had really serious conditions are getting their post-medical workups. In fact, one got it, and the doctor couldn't find the damn disease. A terminal disease we're talking about. Couldn't find it. It says, something's wrong here. I don't understand it, so I'm going to send you to a pulmonologist. Evidently, the original treating and diagnosing doctor with a terminal end-stage condition, COPD, couldn't find any lung obstruction. The guy came with it. Evidently, left it. So, what happened to it? So, we'll be having these people on the air to share their human interest stories. Now, to finish off our health report from Yale University, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, warmer body temperature puts the heat on the common cold. This is something we've known for a long time. This new Yale study reveals how body temperature affects the immune system's response to the common cold virus. And this provides a lot of additional insight about the, you know, when your body starts to heat up, it's killing the viruses. You don't want a cold body. You want that temperature because that can help. So, just, you know, something that's, you know, do you remember what the saying was? Was the saying, starve a cold? Or was it feed the cold? What was it? Do you remember? Okay. Let's see if we have someone who has that answer. 888-874-4888. And finally, Western-style diet, according to Macquarie University, is linked to a state-dependent memory inhibition. Wow. So obesity, or just being overweight, can ultimately be a disease of the brain involving a progressive deterioration of various cognitive processes that influence eating. And that's what they've shown in this university study. And that's not good. So all those fats that are unhealthy and sugars that are unhealthy and animal proteins that are unhealthy and refined carbohydrates, it's adversely affecting your brain. And this is a university down in Australia. And this was published by supported by the Australian Research Council, which is similar to our National Academy of Sciences. So not good. Well, and University of Illinois says hops, H-O-P-S, extract, they're studying to prevent breast cancer. It activates a chemical pathway in cells that could help prevent breast cancer, according to new studies that they have on this. And that's just the natural botanical dietary supplement, like hops, increasingly popular for men, women who are using it for postmenopausal symptoms. And it's a natural and safer alternative to synthetic hormone replacement therapy. But it decreases the risk of breast cancer, according to this study. That's the latest on Health and Healing. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
My name is Bob. I live in New York State. When I came to Gary's retreat, I had cancer in my kidney. It was about 3 years ago. I never felt really well since then, and also felt a kind of trepidation and fear, a lack of purpose in life, a lack of direction. Spending 1 week here, the energy is just unmeasurably high. Everything, everyone, every experience has been absolutely positive. I no longer feel that I have anything in terms of cancer. My outlook on life has completely changed. I have incredibly more energy. I feel a great purpose and a great peacefulness and a great sense of direction in what I want to do now and in the future. And I don't feel burdened anymore. And I'm sure I will have no problem carrying through. It's been a week that has changed my life. It's been an absolute 180 degrees change in direction. And I am very grateful to Gary, to the staff, and to all the fellow participants in the retreat, because everyone was positive, everyone was great, and it's so refreshing to know that that kind of experience and that kind of spirit and that kind of energy exists.
Now, why is that important? And by the way, he and all the others are doing their post-follow-up, and most of them have completed their post-follow-up, and we're going to have them on. And you'll hear some remarkable stories. And in fact, we had an outside medical evaluation of their medical records before and their medical records now. Even though I never looked at the medical records and didn't care about their medical condition, I just care about giving them energy, because one part of staying healthy, one part of living a longer life, is a positive disposition and positive perceptions and stopping reoccurring negative patterns of behavior. We never ask ourselves, what do we gain by being negative, toxic, staying in bad relationships, working in toxic environments, working at jobs that do not honor our higher standard or mission in life? What do we gain? And we never ask this question. I always ask this. And people don't think they gain anything. To the contrary, they do. People gain a lot when they look at themselves as martyrs or as victims. Because once you play that victim card, you can spend the rest of your life identifying with countless other people who are going to play their victim card. And now you see everything through the filtered lens of being a victim. Now, you may have been a victim. We're all victims at some point by people, including people closest to it, family members and others, friends. How many times in life have we been lied to, betrayed, used? And we feel hurt by it. We feel stupid because we should have been smarter than trusting that person when there's clearly signs they would have betrayed us or did on other occasions. But we're also forgiving. And we like to be around people. And so what I do at these retreats is I spend time, almost no time talking about health, but everything talking about happiness. Because when you're happy, your entire biochemistry, the trillions, tens of trillions of cells that make up your body, and the biochemistry of those cells, and the electric currents of those cells, and the vital life force of those cells determine the outcome of any disease you currently have. The entire scientific literature is replete with proof that what you think has a phenomenal impact on what you become, positive or negative. I interviewed a man named Norman Cousins, and he wrote a book about a very serious medical condition he had that doctors didn't give him any hope for, and he started watching comedies, the Marx Brothers, W.C. Fields, and laughing. And they are funny, by the way. If you ever, in fact, some of the Philadelphia stories, some of these old Cary Grant films, they were very funny, very witty. And that helped him. And then I asked Dr. Hans Selye, the father of stress therapy, how important is a positive disposition? He said is half of all disease, as he said to me. He said, Gary, 50% of all disease is what you feel about yourself. If you're unappreciated, if you're unloved, if you're lonely, you just put 50% more likelihood of being diseased or having diseases you have manifest faster and a greater extent. I then asked Dr. Lawrence Lachan, one of the great pioneers in psychoanalytic behavior, who I knew and befriended at the Institute of Applied Biology, where he also worked. And he said that a woman who has self-love, self-confidence, and self-empowerment is 50% more or less likely to develop breast cancer. And he's the one who did that classic study where he took a large group of women who had no history of breast cancer in their family and determined who would get breast cancer over the next 20 years. And that was the first person to ever do that, and he was correct. People who work for other people and do things in the family, and then one day everybody forgets that you're a human being and you have needs, and you just keep doing it, and then they expect you to do it. Then if you don't do it, you feel guilty. And if you don't do it, they remind you that you should feel guilty. All these things lead to a state of mind. So when a person says that he's been feeling foreboding and he never felt good after he was treated for his kidney cancer, and now he does, that is very important for his future. So, just something to let you know that it's a whole lot more than what you eat. It's also what you think, how you think. Now, that said, I'm concerned, and just ask yourself, is this a reasonable concern? I'm concerned that as a society, we allow ourselves to be influenced by the people that we trust. There are voices. There are conscious, the left and the right. And then one day we wake up and we ask ourselves, shouldn't I have done more homework? What would happen if I actually tried to deconstruct the arguments by which I have been living? Now, you could take this to any part of your life, like moderation in all things, your doctor says. Okay, so I've been eating everything in moderation, but everything I eat is toxic. So if 100% of what I'm eating is toxic, then how do you establish what percent is moderate if it's 100% toxic? Hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, pizzas, you know, rolls and bagels and potato chips and pretzels and cola drinks and coffee, it's all toxic. Now think of this. So if 100% of what you're doing is toxic, then what possibly could be the rationalization that if it's moderation? There's no moderation. If you're filled with hate, where's the moderating factor? If you're not exercising, where's the moderating factor? So I then question everything. And this is a principle I live with. I try to deconstruct my own arguments. And by the way, to give you an example of this, yesterday I called London. I was asked to call Brandon. That's the young gay guy who's the voice of this new walk away movement. And we had a conversation. And I'm sure it wasn't a conversation he expected. Here's what I said to him. And he's going to come on the air, and I'll restate it. I said, I believe it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing. You're a lifelong Democrat and liberal. You've accepted things that were given to you, I'm assuming with the assumption that these people were wiser, more powerful, therefore they knew best. They had a view from a mountaintop, and you're in the valley. You're living your life. You're working. You're trying to get ahead. And these are the people who are the wise men and women, and they're telling you, you don't have to come up here and look for yourself. Trust us. And then one day, for whatever reason, and that's the real story, you decide that you can no longer trust what they're saying because you found that they betrayed you. And if they betrayed you about one thing, lied to you about one thing, how do you know what else they haven't lied or betrayed you about? And then you lose confidence. And when you lose confidence, you lose trust. And when you lose trust, you no longer have a relationship. There's no longer a dynamic, synergistic, vibrating energy between you. That's what causes relationships to end more than anything else is trust. So, my impression, you sound like you're astroturfing for an alt-right group. The programs you're appearing on are all these conservative blogs, and you're saying what's wrong with what you learned from the Democrats and the liberal community, and you could be absolutely right. But then you're suggesting that, or the commentators are suggesting now come to our side. And that's not right. Now, normally, most shows, the vast majority of shows, will cherry-pick audit clips and only play what supports their position ideologically, politically, financially. I don't. I have too much respect for my audience because I have some very deep thinkers and comprehensive thinkers in this audience. So I let the entire clip play so that the best and the worst that a person could say you hear. So at least you know more of their perspective. And so why I said I support the walkaway movement, I support the walkaway movement for the conservative and Republican side equal to the Democratic side. And I said otherwise two things are going to happen. A, you're going to get creamed. Your ass is going to be handed to you by the very smart people who are paid full time to discredit anyone that challenges the core corporate Democratic Party power. I don't care who you are, they'll go after you. Look, did Hillary Clinton, Obama defend Julian Assange? No. And what did he do? What was his crime that they wanted to arrest him? He showed the truth of their emails. And Edward Snowden, did Hillary Clinton and the left support the openness and demand amnesty so he could come back to the United States and make his case before the American people in court in the United States Congress under oath to tell how corrupt the national security state was? No, they wanted him arrested. What about Chelsea Manning? She could have been pardoned immediately by not being arrested immediately. That was all under Obama. So at the end is a token? And what about the millions of people who committed no crime of violence, a non-victim crime, like using drugs, and they're still rotting in prison? Obama and the Democrats could have said, let's let them all out. Let them regain their life. They didn't. So it's easy to see where people go, but you try to criticize that and watch how quickly you're inundated with bots and you're attacked and you suddenly get everything thrown against you. And I said, that's going to happen. But it wouldn't matter. If you're coming from the left to the right, it'll happen. But if you're going from the right to the left, it'll happen. The right had Milos and others running around the country attacking anyone and everyone, and Ann Coulter, a whole group of people. They're professional hit people, character assassinations. And I said, so if you go from where you're at to where it looks like you're going, you will have had 15 minutes and it's over. Go independent, then turn around and do your homework on both the left and the right, the corporate left and right. Start, you want to make it easier on yourself, start with the new Democrats, Bill Clinton and Al Gore. Watch how Clinton and Al Gore destroyed the environmental movement, co-opted it, and look at how they, you know, look how they worked the black vote. Look at Clinton. Everything was a manipulation. And look at Hillary. And then do the same thing. Go over to George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan. Go back and see that all the things they trickled down theory, nothing ever trickled down. Invasion of countries, breaking the law, all that, they were never held accountable for it. Do you really want to be a part of either of those? Go independent. That's where the future is. So with my audience, understand that, as I said, you can agree or disagree in part or whole with anything being said. At least you're hearing them. Others not even giving them a voice. It doesn't mean they're right. In fact, I said on many issues they're talking about, I disagree with them. But I also believe we want to hear what they have to say to see if they're right or wrong. Because the next step we should all be taking is walk progressive. That's the new movement. There's 100 million of us. And all of us at one time were either in the left or the right, coming from a liberal background myself, but also having family values. I don't promote conservatism. I don't promote liberalism. I promote humanism, a value that sees everyone as sacred and looking what is in the best interest of everyone. Anytime someone offers a policy or opinion that only benefits certain people and excludes others, walk away from it. Progressives don't do that. So I want you to, we're going to go right now. I'm going to play you a clip. And this clip is from the head of the UN. Did you hear about this? Did you see this talked about? Have you seen anyone, left or right, on television, having their reporters, they certainly have the resources, going to Libya and showing you the consequences of destroying a completely innocent society? The citizens of Libya were among the most educated, the most educated, the most affluent, the most conscientious, having the highest standard of living, the best democratic principles, the highest level of rights for women. In fact, it's against the law to insult a woman in Libya. You have no idea. I studied the history of Libya. I meticulously spent hundreds and hundreds of hours reading everything I could find, going clear back to when Gaddafi took over and brought Libya out of the Dark Ages into the New Age. Was he perfect? No. But he was not the enemy that he was made out by Hillary Clinton to be. So those who were promoting Hillary, this is the consequence of promoting that and having her have power and feel that she was never accountable to her base. Now, Trump has not created a whole new legion. By the way, that's another stupid argument making the run around on the internet by people who don't have time to think deeply about anything and talk out of just sheer lack of reason. Trump has not created a whole new base of racist, supremacists, Nazi, neo-Nazis. That's a tiny fraction of the American population. It's always been there, always will be there. And you make a huge mistake if you try to define anyone who voted for him as being a part of that, because that's going to come back on you. That's a mistake. This is not about Trump. He will always be one of the worst, and we've made that very clear. Focus upon something that is constructive. Just trying to stop him is not going to build anything better for the millennials, for those who are poor, close down the private prison system, get universal health care, get us out of foreign countries, help repair our reputation, help re-nurture our soil, help clean up our water, our air. None of that is being done by the left because they're so focused upon putting another needle in the doll that becomes Trump. He will self-destruct. But in the process of trying to speed that up, the entire Democratic movement is also self-destroying. Listen in now.
Thank you very much. I am horrified at news reports and video footage showing African migrants in Libya reportedly being sold as slaves. I abhor these appalling acts and call upon all competent authorities to investigate these activities without delay and to bring the perpetrators to justice. and I've asked the relevant United Nations actors to actively pursue this matter. Slavery has no place in our world, and these actions are among the most egregious abuses of human rights and may amount to crimes against humanity. I urge every nation to adopt and apply the UN Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime and its protocol on trafficking in persons, and I urge the international community to unite in fighting this scourge. And this also reminds us of the need to address migration flows in a comprehensive and humane manner through development cooperation aiming at addressing its root causes, through a meaningful increase of all the opportunities for legal migration, and through an enhanced international cooperation in cracking down on smugglers and traffickers and protecting the rights of their victims. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's the head of the UN. Here's what you didn't see. Photograph after photograph of open-air markets with Africans with chains, one with a gun to his head by a guy, and as they were fleeing Mali, as they were fleeing Somalia, as they were fleeing Libya, trying to get out to where there at least were safety or some future in some other country, all the organized gangs were stopping them. First, they were being raided in the desert, one of the most terrifying places on earth to be without resources, the Sahara Desert. And these people are walking across the Sahara Desert. That's how bad the situation is. And so as bad as that is, and they have to try to bypass all the different places where they can be kidnapped, now they get to a port, their last penny is given to a guy to get on a very unsafe barge to go to a country where they may or may not be rejected or put into a detention center. Then they're captured, and they're sold to slavery. The women are sold as sex slaves, and the men are sold for day labor, paid nothing, and have no opportunity to go home or go forward. That's in Libya. That's right out in the open. Why has no one from the supporters of Hillary Clinton had a Me Too Libya because of her? Or do the women in Libya not count, or the young girls, or the boys, or the men? The people suffering by the millions, are they not important any longer? We shouldn't allow our unbridled hatred for the president to blind us to crimes against humanity committed by those who claim they are taking a higher road. There's nothing high about Libya and what we did to it, or Syria and what we've done to it. And now Syria has thousands of people coming back. They're rebuilding Syria. This is the country that if Russia hadn't intervened and Iran intervened to protect it, it would be in the hands of terrorists today, just like Libya. So do you see what I'm saying? Shouldn't there be accountability for people whose direct personal policies led to this? And why? Because they wanted Libyan oil. They wanted no longer for Africa to have the gold denier to trade in instead of the dollar as a reserve currency. They did not want the largest aquifer and clean water in all of the world, which was his own made reservoir that was already feeding over 160 million Africans to go further. Because then how do you exploit a people and their natural resources if they have water, they don't have to buy it from you? And they can grow crops, they don't have to buy your crops. So you see there are consequences to this. And no one's being held accountable for the consequences of undermining the socialist revolution in Venezuela. And even liberals are saying socialism doesn't work. Look at Libya, or look at Venezuela. And I'm saying to the contrary. Tens of millions of people were brought out of abject poverty and given educations and given careers and given a higher quality of life because of Hugo Chavez was able to take profits from oil when it was at $125 a barrel, and he put that right back in, not to his own pockets and the corrupt cronies around him, but into the people's pockets. He founded more co-ops than any other person in South America when he was in power. And we have done everything humanly possible to undermine that and to create the image that it's a failed state because of socialism. Absolutely a lie. So here's the other part. This is just looking at some of the things we're told that, Hillary Clinton would be better. Why should we be believing that? Because she's honest? Not at all. Listen to this clip where she's being challenged first in an interview with a positive, I believe this is CNN, supporting of her, but asking her a simple question. And then when Trey Gowdy challenged her, I'm not a supporter of Trey Gowdy, but it's rare you get to see someone testify under oath. And by the way, let me explain this. I've done the homework. Benghazi was real. We have absolute irrefutable proof that there were the American service people close by on their way, but the only one who could be allowed was the commander-in-chief was the only one who could allow Americans to go into a country and give the signal, and he did not. He gave a stand down. Why? Because that meant that the second group of people who died didn't have to. There was more than enough time. So why did the Defense Department, the CIA, the National Security Agency, all these people lie? Because we now know the truth. Because that was a hidden mission. Stevens was over there running illegally obtained weapons from Gaddafi out of Benghazi on boats going into Turkey and then into Syria to fight against Bashar Assad. And that would have been in violation of all international treaties. And we were supplying terrorist groups, including al-Nusra, in those communities. So how would it look if someone asked a question, did our arms end up in the hands of terrorists? Yes. How did they get there? Well, we were taking them from Gaddafi in a war that NATO was fighting with over 14,000 air missions in the air alone. And once we got all those weapons that he had, then we were taking his weapons and giving them to terrorists in Syria to fight Assad. And then they also got in the hands of ISIS and al-Nusra and al-Qaeda. So the United States was supporting terrorists? Yes, but they were our terrorists, John McCain's terrorists, good terrorists. Same people that beheaded, including that 12-year-old boy in the back of a truck. Yeah, same one, but that was only one beheading of a young boy. We're not sure how many young boys. I mean, think of that. Think of the consequences if the world knew the truth. Now you know it. All right? We have absolute, irrefutable proof that what I just said. It was all a black op operation. And that's why they thought they could put a lid on this and not have the truth come out. They didn't want a full-fledged, invasion, because who knew what would happen once you send more troops in and jets in, and so they can minimize the downside. Now let's listen to this when Hillary Clinton's being interviewed.
Sanders said that, quote, the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails. But there are a lot of people who are not.
Well.
including FBI officials looking into whether national security was compromised because of this server. And this is something else that is very confusing to me. With all your experience, why wouldn't you anticipate that over the course of 4 years, handling very sensitive diplomatic negotiations, overseeing military interventions and surveillance, why wouldn't you anticipate that something classified, whether about North Korea or Iran or drones or an informant for the CIA, that it wouldn't be emailed to you? And why wouldn't you consider that having it on your personal account with some server in Colorado might be a potential risk?
Well, first of all, nothing, and I will underscore, nothing that I was sent or that I sent was marked classified.
Secretary Clinton said she never sent or received any classified information over her private email. Was that true?
Our investigation found that there was classified information sent.
So it was not true?
Right. That's what I said.
including
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true.
Including
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
including
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
including
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
including
Secretary Clinton said her lawyers read every one of the emails and were overly inclusive. Did her lawyers read the email content individually?
No.
including
false exculpatory statements. They are used for what?
Well, either for a substantive prosecution or for evidence of intent in a criminal prosecution.
Exactly. Intent and consciousness of guilt, right? Is that right?
Right.
Consciousness of guilt and intent.
Including.
And you would be arguing, in addition to concealment, the destruction that you and I just talked about, or certainly the failure to preserve.
Including.
You would also, probably under common scheme or plan, argue the burn bags of daily calendar entries or the missing daily calendar entries as a common scheme or plan to conceal.
Including
2 days ago, Director, you said a reasonable person in her position should have known a private email was no place to send and receive classified information. You're right. An average person does know not to do that. This is no average person. This is a former First Lady, a former United States Senator, and a former Secretary of State that the President now contends is the most competent, qualified person to be President since Jefferson.
including
she affirmatively rejected efforts to give her a state.gov account. She kept these private emails for almost 2 years and only turned them over to Congress because we found out she had a private email account.
including
so you have a rogue email system set up before she took the oath of office, thousands of what we now know to be classified emails, some of which were classified at the time. One of her more frequent email comrades was in fact hacked, and you don't know whether or not she was. And this scheme took place over a long period of time and resulted in the destruction of public records, and yet you say there is insufficient evidence of intent.
Including
you say she was extremely careless, but not intentionally so.
Is James Comey being questioned by Trey Gowdy, who himself is a former prosecutor? This is the double standard. So all lies. So why in the world would we allow someone to become a powerful player in the United States when they've lied about so many things? Do you support unions? Yes, I support unions. Remember in August in that debate, and yet supported NAFTA, was its chief spokesperson, supported 47 secret meetings with different heads of countries, convincing them they should support the Trans-Pacific Partnership that we were all against, and yet all done in secret. We didn't know until WikiLeaks that she was strong-arming other countries, supporting genetically engineered growing seeds, and damning countries that didn't, saying there will be repercussions if you don't carry these genetically engineered seeds, and saying that she supported poor people at the same time her and her husband, it was really her. All you have to do is go back and look at the history of those who worked in the White House and see she was the one calling the shots. He was the public image. And she took away the welfare benefits and the meager public assistance to 1.5 million Americans, a lot of them African Americans. She was the one with her husband who increased the laws for imprisonment at the same time she was receiving vast amounts of money from the private prison system, locking up millions of Americans for nonviolent offenses. at what this cognitive disconnect and start looking at the people, the potential leaders of any group, and say, we need more than a duopoly. We need more than parties that are controlled the way they are. We need multiple independent groups. That's what we need, and we need a lot of them, and we need a lot of voices. We don't need lobbyists. We don't need consultants. We don't need this permanent professional class in Washington. We need local strength and power, and we need common sense. That's why I'm asking the people in this audience, go to the Internet, share your story of how you became an independent or progressive human being, where you're no longer identifying yourself as corporate Republican or Democrat, that you're a human being who can think for yourself. Go on social media and use the hashtag #WalkProgressive. Walk progressive, because we need people to tell their stories. Not that they went from being a Republican to a Democrat or Democrat to a Republican. That's all nonsense. We want people to leave both of those institutions and therefore withdraw the power of the people like the Clintons that are the permanent power class in America. And if you think they're going to be reformed, you think they're going to change, you think they're going to surrender the power that they have with all those Wall Street titans and the military-industrial complex and big agri and big pharma and big industry, then you haven't been paying attention to our messages over the years. All right, so tell your story today. Hashtag Walk Progressive. And tomorrow, a special, original, in-depth investigative report challenging Wikipedia. Won't want to miss it. Have a nice day, everyone. Don't.